1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Cheers from world leaders today at the G7 summit in Italy as President Biden signed a pledge to help Ukraine.
Our goal is to strengthen Ukraine's credible defense and deterrence capabilities for the long term.
The deal's good for the next 10 years, which means the U.S. would be committed to help Ukraine even if Donald Trump's reelected in November.
A lasting peace for Ukraine must be underwritten by Ukraine's own ability to defend itself now and to deter future aggression anytime in the future.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called it a historic day.
It benefits everyone in the world because the Russian war against Ukraine is a real, real global threat.
Other G7 leaders have agreed to a $50 billion loan for Ukraine to help it buy weapons and help it begin rebuilding any damaged infrastructure there. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. First Lady Jill Biden is in Wisconsin this afternoon. She's telling older adults in Green Bay what's at stake in the election. Mrs. Biden has visited Wisconsin a number of times this year. The last Marquette poll put the race for president in a virtual tie. A new survey ranks Wisconsin on the low end for its economy, number 40 according to WalletHub. Part of that's based on low startup activity. Economic Development Secretary Missy Hughes says they're working on that.
We just announced the creation of the Wisconsin Investment Fund, which is a $100 million fund that will help entrepreneurs in Wisconsin be able to access capital and be able to grow their businesses here.
Hughes also points to Wisconsin's low unemployment. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Last night, three Democratic candidates for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District shared their ideas at a forum held in Platteville.
Medical Derek Van Orden wants to take away women's freedoms to make their own medical decisions on abortion. In Congress, I will fight tirelessly to protect women's reproductive freedoms and expand them.
That's Katrina Shankland, while Rebecca Cook says,
I don't think that it's my position as a government official to be in a doctor's office making decisions for you and your family. And when I'm talking with people throughout the 3rd Congressional District, protecting reproductive freedoms is really at the top of their list.
While the candidates agreed on many issues, they also had different ideas on how to approach key topics.
We should also be getting rid of student loans. I'm the only one here that is in support of full student loan forgiveness. Because what it does is it allows our younger people to start building their lives.
That was Eric Wilson. All three will be on the ballot in the August primary.
The Brewers rally for the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers were 0 for 24 with runners in scoring position.
Then in the bottom of the sixth, Willie Adames was at the plate. Coverage, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
That one hit to center.
The ball traveled 448 feet as the crew held on to win 5-4 over the Blue Jays. Adames on the Brewers' 5-run rally.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, the speed guys, they did the job there just to starting everything for us. And after that, we just carried the momentum and, you know, we scored some run for the support for the pitchers there.
The crew with the day off. NBA Celtics win again 106-99 over the Mavericks in Dallas. Boston up now 3-0 in the NBA Finals. NFL Packers wrapping up their 3-day mini camp. They'll be back in 5 weeks for the start of the season with training camp. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
More clouds than sun this afternoon with chances of a few spotty showers. The sunshine will return in full force by this evening and high temperatures spike to the low 80s. with winds breezy out of the west, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Wood County Farm Bureau and its District 8 Promotion and Education teams invite you to join them for the first ever Egg Day with the Wisconsin Rabbit Rafters on June 16th. Stop by the Wood County Farm Bureau booth to learn more about Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and the Farm Bureau Foundation to learn how your membership helps Wisconsin agriculture and the next generation of Wisconsin's ag force, otherwise known as agriculture workforce. Please join in celebrating the impact of agriculture in central Wisconsin on Father's Day, Sunday, June 16th, with the Rafters at Historic Witter Field.
The Todd Alba Show.
Jane Matinier, who I usually say it's lovely to hear you, Jane, but right now we have to be rivals. We have this great Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest. She beat us by one texter yesterday.
We don't have anything on the line for this. Here's my suggestion. The loser has to buy the other one a steak dinner at the nicest supper club in Amory.
I'm on.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, can we get Greg Bach to attend his first ever dairy breakfast this weekend? We'll certainly milk it for all it's worth.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Home for Matt Nair on air.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, June 13th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with our friend Anna Mitchell, regional natural resource educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Right now, in studio with us, our great friend Eric Brittenacher from the Performing Arts Center. We're hoping to be joined by Lou Zhang as well. We'll see if Lou is able to join us or not. Either way, Eric, always looking forward to talking with you, talking the arts with you, and especially this event. This is a really exciting one. What we're going to focus on today is Kids from Wisconsin. This is a performance that's going to be happening right here in Wisconsin Rapids, July 1st, 7 o'clock, over at the PAC. Eric, first off, how you doing? How you been?
I've been doing really great. Good. You know, we're kind of winding down a season here at the PAC. We still have a couple summertime events to look forward to. You know, next week there's the Love Inc. event, their fundraising event, and then followed by that is the Kids from Wisconsin coming July 1st.
Let's talk about that, Eric.
Yeah, let's. You know, the show is at 7 o'clock on July 1st. That's a Monday. The Arts Council of Southwood County and Sally are so gracious to be selling tickets again for us. So if you're interested in tickets, you can call over to the Arts Council or stop by there. The phone number for the Arts Council is 715-424-2787. And their website, savorthearts.org. If you're not familiar with their location, they're located on 8th Street, kind of near Burger King at 1040 8th Street South. Along with this performance, we're also doing a free Realize Your Dream workshop. That workshop is kind of targeted towards kids between fourth and seventh grade, or ages 7 to 14. So I think that covers those grades. If you have kids just before that or after that, maybe siblings, they're more than welcome to participate as well. But please sign up in advance, and you'll be doing that at the Kids from Wisconsin website. So navigate yourself to the Kids from Wisconsin website, click on Realize Your Dream Workshops, you know, navigate to the Wisconsin Rapids event, and then sign your student up there. That's going on at 4 o'clock. Again, open to anybody. There's no limit. And during that free kids workshop, you get to learn to dance with the singers and dancers. You can create your own musical composition with the band, or you can kind of be on the tech route where you get to tour the lighting and sound booths, ask questions. And then all of that culminates with kind of the performance of watching, you know, your student who learned the dance to get up on stage and dance, and also, you know, to play their music along with the Kids from Wisconsin. It's always a great time. I think, you know, it's just really great exposure for our kids, and to see, you know, what potential might exist for them in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's free. And, you know, come along. It's a summertime event. We're going to have a great time. The kids are always high energy, great to work with. We have a local kid, Lu Zhang, you know, who just graduated, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago from Lincoln High School. And so it's important for our kids to see the potential and that there, you know, there are things out there that exist if you want to get into performance art. And it's not just performing. It's all of the behind the scenes things, too, lighting, sound, and all of that technology somebody needs to manage that.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you and I, we're in a very similar world together, and at the same time, very different worlds. With the students that I have, they're a little older. They tend to be they have a course that they want to take. They have a direction they want to go. And it's great to see them find that path and oftentimes find an avenue off of that path that they didn't even know of and stuff that has nothing to do with the arts. The attorneys that I have come in just trying to build some confidence before they talk to a jury or something like that. Some of those things has been great. With your with the level in the age that you're working with a lot of kids and talking with a lot of these kids, they are in a position where who knows what direction they'll go with these things. And while some of them may not be on a Broadway stage or working behind the scenes on a Broadway show or something, the confidence in the things that they learn from this, they can take whatever avenue they go into. And I think that's such a cool thing and opportunity for these kids.
You know, I think it's the arts really connect a lot of our different trades and, you know, even the professional, you know, types of jobs, lawyers and things like that, where, you know, you can be, you know, somebody who's drafting and creating a design. Mm-hmm. You can be a designer, but you can also be the builder of that design. Yeah. You can be a carpenter. You know, you can be a welder.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you're right. Like, just because it's arts doesn't mean that you're not working perhaps in the trades, you know, because if you're going to be hooking up all these pieces of equipment, you need to know the power draw. And so you need to know how much power we need to provide. And so that's where your electricians come into play. So, you know, being an electrician doesn't mean you have to wire a house or be pulling wire through a big building somewhere. It can also mean that, hey, we're running shows out here in an arena, in a theater somewhere, outside, you know, and those types of skills that you can learn here, you know, in the arts or in theater are transferable to many, many other professions.
Yeah.
And it's not just the trades. It's also professional. It's legal. It's, you know, contract writing for bands. You know, it goes so far as, you know, costume and prop making and just being, you know, creative people.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking a lot of things that may come at you and seeing what you can make of them.
It's funny, when I was growing up, I know that I and a lot of my friends that wanted to get into the arts, one of the things our parents would worry about as well, is that a job that's going to be consistent? Is that a job that's going to be able to, that you can make a career out of and such? And it's part of the reason why I bring these things up, because you don't know where these skill sets can take people. And I will say, as far as the arts go, while it can be a difficult path to make a career in it and everything, it has never been more of a transition to be able to do that and these skills to be applicable to other fields along with the arts. It's a whole new world being where that is, where when I was a kid to where it is now. It's so cool to see the opportunities that not only kids have, but the way that these skill sets are applying to different things. If you're looking for job security, the arts are one of those things that, while, yeah, it can be hard to get your foot in the door and stuff, there is consistent work there for you if you're willing to work, if you're willing to do these things.
I would agree, and I think back 15 years ago when I was in high school and trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I realized that I needed to follow like what I was really interested in, and that was music and listening to music, producing music, mixing music. And at the time, even then, 15 years ago, people were saying, oh, you know, you're not going to make any money in the arts, or the arts are only 5% of the total workforce. You know, you're really, like you said, it's going to be a hard way to get in the door. You might not make a lot of money. You know, you're not going to make a livable wage, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, 15 years later, and after a pandemic, we've seen that there's more things going on than ever. And every single one of them has audio, lighting, video, something related to connecting the artist to the audience by way of an electronic piece of equipment. And I see a great need, because I'm on, you know, Facebook groups and different things of people looking for help, labor. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just set up or take down labor, but still, there's a lot of prerequisite knowledge that comes with either audio or lighting, and you have to work with it and you have to be a part of it in order to like really understand and get better at it. But what I'm saying is that there's tons of potential out there, mm-hmm, across this whole nation and across this whole world to get into live arts and entertainment. And it doesn't matter if it's the theater or the arena or the sports complex. Every single one of those places has media entertainment, sports entertainment. That's why they call it that. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to WWE or you go to any sporting event, they've got lights, they've got a halftime show, they've got the music, they have everything, the whole nine yards. And that's everywhere, across the state, across the nation, at all of your local, you know, sporting complexes and stuff. Mm. This stuff exists, and people either have to know how to use it, have to work on it, have to install it, design it, you name it. And yeah, the jobs are out there.
Mm. It's such a good point to make, that not only are people looking for these, but they're looking for them right now. Like, it's a great industry to get into for a lot of people. And it's part of the reason why I bring getting your kids to attend a Realize Your Dream workshop. And you just don't know where that could lead or what that could do for them, and the opportunities that could create. It's such a cool thing to be able to have that as a part of this. I know that a lot of the things that take place at the PAC from Save for the Arts have workshops involved with them. And I think it's just one of the more, it's one thing to bring these acts to town. It's so cool to be able to do that. This added bonus of these things goes so much farther for our youth and our kids. And there's no greater investment we can have than these guys. It's really cool to see.
Yeah. You know, we hope these student outreach, these outreaches are transformative in nature, and oftentimes with the arts we can't really realize the impact right now. Like, we see something, we take it in, you know, but it's the changed human perception, seeing things from another person's angle.
That's a great point, man.
And that's what we hope to provide. You know, it might not touch every single person, but it might touch that one or two or three. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'll tell you what, again, going back to this idea that you can't make money in the arts, or, you know, sometimes you hear comments, well, you better find something else to do that will pay the bills and keep the lights on other than just playing music. But how boring would it be if you got in your car and that person that is on the radio decided to quit, decided not to make their music, and you didn't have a, you know, music to listen to, mm-hmm, on the radio, and you didn't have these creative people that brought you their skills, their talents, how they saw the world, how they perceived the world. And that's really what the arts are all about. You know, it's not, we shouldn't be doing it necessarily for the money. Yes, we have to keep the lights on, but, mm-hmm, you know, let's just keep all things in perspective, that let's keep these people motivated to do what they're interested in doing and not say, oh, you're never going to make money in that, because who's to say that?
Yeah.
Look at Taylor Swift, you know, mm-hmm, look at any, you know, Chris Stapleton, look at any of the big name artists over the years, over the decades.
I guarantee you that they had somebody tell them that they weren't going to be able to make a living at that art.
Exactly.
I guarantee it.
And that person said, in the same way that I said 15 years ago, watch me.
Yeah, right.
I will prove you wrong. And I hope that every other kid out there who might have an interest in this, and there are naysayers out there, they're just following their, you know, their internal compass. And they're saying, you know, I have this vision in my head and I'm going to chase it. And I'm not going to let, you know, anybody get in my way. And I think our world needs just more of that. Yeah. Across the board.
Agreed.
I'm not going to let anybody stand in my way.
I think you are a prime example of this. I will throw my hat in the ring on this one. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a writer. That was where my focus went. That's where my schooling went. Spoiler alert, everybody. You haven't seen me in a Hollywood blockbuster anytime soon. But what you have seen and heard is me making a living at my craft for the last 20-some years in this area doing radio. I didn't go to school for this, but my skill set fit radio. Somebody gave me an opportunity, and I was working 10 hours a week and everything my first couple months, my first couple years, really. Here I am now, where I'm making a darn good living doing this and being able to do this, doing something I love, doing something that takes my skill set, and I found a good appliance for it. That can happen for anybody. These are not far-fetched examples or anything. I can bring up my daughter. I can bring up a couple of kids that I grew up with. There's a lot of great examples of this, and a lot of it starts with getting the opportunity, just even a kid realizing this is a possibility. The Realize Your Dream workshop and these other kind of workshops that the Save for the Arts and Performing Art Center have, that could be that opportunity. And I really encourage you to get your kids to attend these. You can find out more. Kids from Wisconsin, kidsfromwi.org, kidsfromwi.org is where you can register and find out more about this. Eric, I want to take some time to focus on the show, too, to talk about that. I get so excited talking about the kids at these workshops and everything, man. But yeah, the Wisconsin's Larger Than Life, the Great Entertainers Tour, is what's going to be coming to town here. Can we talk about what the show is going to entail?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, there's always a theme every year with the kids from Wisconsin and their shows, and this year it's the Great Entertainers. So throughout the decades, they're going to be showcasing some of the top performers and show people, you know, that we've come to know and love over the years. Mm. And so it's a variety of different types of music. You know, we're going to hear a lot of, I'm sure, the classics. You know, they don't really tease on as to what they're going to play, but we can expect, you know, a lot of music over the years that everybody can relate to and feel good about. I'm going to take just a moment to thank some of our sponsors for the show and making it happen for us. This is presented by Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. First and foremost, we're putting out the performer's fee in order to get the kids from Wisconsin here. And there are a couple sponsors that we need to thank. First is Micey's Asian American Food. They're providing the dinner for the troop when they come here. That's actually Lou's mom. So we'd like to thank Micey's Asian American Food for their donation of food. The Come Family Fund through Encourage. Earl and Vivian Hafe's Donor Advised Fund through Encourage. Valley Communities Credit Union and Key Savings Bank also donated $100 to the cause. And we also have two very kind sponsors, who just offer really great rates on some of the things. The Chatterbox Catering out of Kellner, they're providing the lunch at a very, very fair rate, and Quality Plus Printing also printed a bunch of posters for us. So we thank them for their in-kind, sponsorship and support. The Kids from Wisconsin show is always a great time. It's engaging, high energy. You might know some of these kids, or you might have relatives who know some of these kids from around the state. Obviously, we have one local. This year, it's going to be his last year, so come on and support Lu Zhang. But additionally, this is representative of the musicians in our state. These are some of the best musicians, honestly, that I, you watch these kids and their musicianship and their showmanship, and you're just amazed that these kids are, between, 16 and 20 years old, or 17 and 20.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. And I think this experience, the rigor of their schedule, brings these young performers to a new level. And it's exciting to see, where these people go and where they end up.
Yeah, it's. I'm really glad you mentioned that schedule and how hard they're working at this. They are touring and they're constantly going over the shows and making them as tight and as strong as possible for audiences, and it shows. You look at the highlights online, just get a little preview of what you have in store for you, and man, you cannot help but be blown away. Some of the videos I have to watch twice, because the first time I'm watching it, the actor brain in me is dissecting everything and just enjoying the way that these kids are like, man, is that a 50-year-old out there? Because their experience shows me a 50-year-old actor, and they're not 50. Like the amount of things that they're able to do and the transition to some of the sketches, some of the things that they're doing are really unique as well. I think everything ties together in this show very nicely. We may not know some of the hits that they're going to play, but they're going to be playing hits. They're not going to be doing something from a B-side or anything, everybody. They're going to be bringing out a lot of the great things that you have come to know and love over the years. I love the idea that this is for any age. Anybody can enjoy this show. Whether you are 20 or you are 45, you're going to be able to enjoy this. It's a very family-friendly event, too. So very similar to something I was going to say about the workshop. It's just great to have something for kids to do in the summer. So even just that alone is a good reason to have your kid attend the workshop, let alone obviously all the great things they can learn from it. It's very similar with the show. This show, it gives you something to do. That alone is great. We already got you on that. But you're going to be entertained. You're going to be entertained like you have not been before. It's one thing to go in and take in a great show. It's great to be able to take in things at the Pack. You know how much I love that place. We love Sally and our friends at Savor the Arts and these big names and these wonderful names they bring in the town, but these are locals. These are kids. These are fellow Wisconsinites and such. These are kids that you can see and you can get behind. You can really like enjoy. And as you mentioned, you might know some of them out there. There's, I believe, 36 individuals involved in it, 36 kids.
I believe about that many.
Yeah.
36 kids.
That's pretty cool. And that is very impressive to bring all these pieces together, all these different kids together, and to see the chemistry that they create in such a quick amount of time. As somebody who looks at chemistry almost more than anything else when it comes to the arts, I get blown away by that, man. That's pretty impressive.
And the rigors of their schedule are intense. I think they only have 2 or 3 weeks of rehearsal before they get into their shows. So they're probably still tightening up the show on their first, one or two as they get out there. So, by the time they get to us, they should be pretty polished. But just their whole setup from the time they roll in to the time they leave, they all help unload the truck. They all have their job to help set up. They all know what that is. They know their place on the stage, when their cues are. It really is. It's a well-oiled machine, and they have it down. And so you You just think that at the end of the summer, they just have to be exhausted.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah. I think of something else, too, with this. We talk a lot of high school sports around here. And for anybody I've talked to over the years I've been doing this, when it comes to high school sports, we like to root for our high school teams and such. We everybody likes to see wins. But what we really love is seeing these kids out there and just seeing them playing the game, just seeing them enjoying the game. Because what we come back to is, I just love this game. It's not so much the win, loss, my team, your team. It's seeing these kids and seeing the game being played. I think of the very same thing when it comes to entertainment. And I love seeing a big Hollywood production. I like watching the Oppenheimer in the movie theater and everything. But what I love more than that by a thousand is seeing a good community theater play and seeing locals and people I know on that stage. This is that times a thousand. Getting to see these kids out there, getting to see them and being able to cheer them on and root them on. Not only are you going to get a great show with some really hardworking kids out there, but you get to have that kind of high school feeling, that kind of feeling of, hey, these are locals. These are kids I can get behind. I'm rooting for them. I like this. You see where they go, where they take their careers. It's a fun opportunity to be able to be a part of, and you can be a part of it coming up July 1st. 7 o'clock, show will be at the Performing Arts Center. Eric, how can they get tickets if they want?
Yeah, once again, tickets for adults are $20. Students are $10. You can get those at the Arts Council of Southwood County. You can stop in their office at 1040 8th Street South. You can call them at 715-424-2787 or visit them 24/7 and get your tickets online at SaverTheArts.org.
And I did want to send a shout out to Liu Zhang, who was going to join us, wasn't able to or anything, but I've read up on the young man. I had a couple questions for him and everything. I was really ready to talk to him. Very impressive human being. I'm looking forward to seeing where he goes with his career.
I would say, you know, when we saw him in our high school musicals and he had, you know, kind of the lead role in Dear Edwina Jr., and I think he was Mr. Kunkle or Krunkle was the guy's name, but just knocked that out of the park. And you can tell just over these past 3 years, just the confidence on stage, you know, his voice has really developed even further. You know, it's just, it is amazing to kind of see him in a snapshot, you know, year after year and how they've progressed. So yeah, it's exciting. Come out and support Lou on his last year. Mm-hmm. We'd love to see you. It's, you know, for anybody who might be interested in the Realize Your Dream workshop, if your student is on the fence or anything, it's really no pressure. Just get them there. If they have any sort of interest or if you have interest, then check it out. You don't have to do really anything you don't want to. You can even be on a fly on the wall. Mm-hmm. So we just would love to see you there.
Always good talking with you, Eric. Thank you so much for the time. Kidsfromwi.org. Kidsfromwi.org is the website. You can find out more. Register the kids for that. And be sure to take in the Kids from Wisconsin, Larger Than Life, the Great Entertainers Tour. Coming to town July 1st, 7 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center. We'll be talking about this, making sure the kids have a great crowd for the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
The annual June Pride event in Milwaukee is the oldest and largest in the state. U.S. News and World Report also includes it as one of the top 20 LGBTQ plus celebrations in the country. But the parade and several-day festival started as a one-day protest. The Milwaukee demonstration in June of 1970 was timed around the first anniversary of the brutal police raid at the Stonewall Inn in New York City. It's also the first time people showed support for gay rights in Wisconsin, sparking a social awakening that continues today. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Max Inc. Radio.
He can play it all, and we'll challenge Graham Marlowe to it when he's in studio for a live Saturday night concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rocker, and Jimmy King.
Weekend evenings on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says his office is vetting firms to do an independent audit of Milwaukee Public Schools operations. The governor calls the situation in Milwaukee critical and warrants a close look into the school district's financial and academic problems. Republicans say the audit should be done by the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau. Someday, people could get a ride to the hospital in an electric ambulance. Kevin DeVoy is an ambulance dealer. He says zero-emission ambulances are a good idea because of the nature of emergency work.
An ambulance tends to idle a lot because of the need to be on scene or at the hospital.
The latest model electric ambulance was recently showcased in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The former Assumption Catholic coach enters a plea to secretly videotaping students. 34-year-old Seth Mielke gave up his right to a preliminary hearing in Wood County Court yesterday. A judge then determined that there is enough evidence for the case against Mielke to move forward. Prosecutors have charged him with 10 felony counts for allegedly setting up a camera in the bathroom at his home and taking videos of students. The videos were not sexual, but did capture nudity. And if you've always wanted to visit the Mead Wildlife Area, you can go tomorrow. Macmillan Library's Journey in the Wild is from 12:30 to 3:45. This week's theme is archery, and you need to register ahead of time. Head to the library website, macmillanlibrary.org. And there's also an olive tasting at Family Natural Foods this weekend. Stop down Saturday at 11 a.m. to taste the Mediterranean miracles. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're a John Grisham fan, you might have something binge-watchable right around the corner. USA Network announced it will turn Grisham's 1995 novel, The Rainmaker, into a series. The book was also made into a movie of the same name in 1997. The film was directed by Francis Ford Coppola and starred Matt Damon. Variety reports that the TV series will continue with similar themes of David versus Goliath legal situations. Can you imagine sleeping through a fire? Henry Winkler almost did. The Fonz was staying at a hotel in Dublin when the fire alarm went off, and it was not a false alarm. Winkler initially thought it was the clock radio alarm he was hearing that had been set by the room's previous guest. He tried to go back to sleep and finally woke when 6 fire engines showed up from the Dublin Brigade to put out an electrical fire. Winkler praised the fire department's quick response and took a selfie with them. Ironically, he slept through his actual alarm the next day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sun this afternoon with chances of a few spotty showers. The sunshine will return in full force by this evening and high temperatures spike to the low 80s. With winds breezy out of the west, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Weather is sponsored by Econ Electric LLC, your neighborhood Generac generator dealership. Don't let bad weather affect your power. Visit Econ Electric in Wisconsin Rapids.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Here we... What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Donald Trump meets with Republican leaders. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Tune in each day, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, June 13th, 2024. I have your host, James, here with you, and welcoming into the WFHR stage our great friend, Anna Mitchell, Regional Natural Resource Educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Anna, great to have you with us.
Great to be back, James.
I was talking with my dad, actually, about the interview today, mm-hmm. and I'm like, Dad, we're going to be talking about prairie ecosystems in mm-hmm. North America. And I kind of threw that at him because he always likes listening to these, and he usually learns something from it. I know it's one of my favorite things about getting the chance to hang out with you. But this one, he was very, he was a lot more engaged than I expected him to be.
Cool.
He's like, what is about that and everything? And so we just like loosely kind of search engined a mm-hmm. little bit of stuff and right away was engaged. But I also realized in doing that, there's so much that I don't know about mm-hmm. this subject too. And I think a lot of people out there, I appreciate this being kind of our main topic for today.
Yeah.
So I feel like a good place to start is, for one, how have you been? How you doing?
Doing really well. Good. Summer's busy and it's going to continue to be busy, so
good.
We'll hang in there.
So, yeah, I hear you. So what is a prairie? I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah, I would agree. So a prairie basically is an area made up of mostly grasses, sedges, which are like a grass-like plant, and then other flowering plants that we call forbs, which are your flowers. Some prairies also have trees, but mainly it's those grasses, flowers. You see them, it's like the rolling meadows, it looks like. I think we probably all can visualize a prairie in our head. Prairies, they're really wonderful and have a lot of historical value within mm-hmm. North America. Prairies historically covered nearly one third of North America.
Wow.
It's a crazy amount of acres. I couldn't find the total amount of acres. Mm-hmm. I have a little tidbit for how many acres in Wisconsin later on, but one third of North America used to be covered by prairies. They stretched historically from the Rocky Mountains to east of the Mississippi River, and then from Saskatchewan, Canada, all the way down to Texas. So that's north to south and east to west.
Yeah.
I mean, they were everywhere. Historically, it was the continent's largest continuous ecosystem that supported an enormous quantity of plants and animals, which is really cool.
It's really, when we look at I love going down, I love learning history, and especially American history. I get really into it. Some of the greatest things we hear about it, we learn about it, the early days of this country. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean necessarily when the, you know, European settlers came here or anything. I mean way, way back.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating to take a look back, especially if you get to see a map of what it looked like beforehand and everything. It's such a beautiful set of land that we have here in America.
Yeah.
And so vast and unique.
Yes. And I sometimes find myself getting lost. Like, I don't know if anybody ever drives and thinks about, you know, on a drive, long drive, you think about what it used to look like historically.
Yes, I do.
I constantly catch myself doing that, especially in prairies, because, I mean, they have developed into some of the most complicated and diverse ecosystems in the world, surpassed only by the rainforests in Brazil.
Man, let that sit there for a second. That is incredible. That's incredible.
I know. Some authors have estimated that between 30 and 60 million bison used to roam the prairies prior to the 1840s.
Wow.
That's a lot. And I think we can all, you know, we've all heard the stories of the American bison and have mm-hmm. all seen the pictures of what it used to be like and what tragically happened to those bison. Mm-hmm. But, you know, bison get a main focus, but there's also many other hoofed animals that were on the prairies that we don't see anymore in prairie systems, like elk. Wow. Elk we think of generally as a mountain species. No, they're historically a prairie species. Deer,
I didn't know that.
Deer, antelope grazed in large numbers. And then obviously when you have those hoof species, mm-hmm. you get those large predators. So historically, grizzly bears were in the prairies. Mountain lions, wolves, they all thrived as an ecosystem too, which is really, really interesting to think about.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a great image. And I, like you, do this sometimes, especially on the highways or something like that. I end up thinking about what it looked like before these roads were there or something. And it's amazing to think of where all these cars and people are now. There were animals and there were so many other things just as busy as we are. Yeah. You know, keep busy living. It's unique to think of.
It is. It really is. And the makeup of prairies is dependent on the ecosystem. So that includes anything from the animals, the soil type, water availability, natural disturbance like fire, and grazing. So grazing comes from those hoofed animals moving their way across the prairies eating. And then fire, it was a natural suppressant for these prairies, and it rejuvenated the prairies. I could go into so much detail with fire and how good it is for prairie ecosystems, but
there's a tree. There's this tree. I learned about this when I was out in California. There's a tree that the fires make it kick out seeds.
Okay, yeah.
Darn it, I can't think of the name of
it. No, I can't remember either.
But I think other people have maybe heard of this before.
Is it Osage?
I think that's it. I think that's it. Stuff like that, the way nature evolves and the way nature adapts to its own, to nature, is really unique and fascinating.
Yeah, and some of the flowering plants that are in prairies actually require that fire to even germinate.
Wow.
Which is really, really interesting. Hmm. So when we think about prairies, there's generally three distinct prairie regions or different kinds of prairie. And so we'll get into those just a little bit. So there's the dry short grass prairie that thrives in like the rain shadows of the Rocky Mountains. So you would find those out west. And the plants in there only get about ankle high. And some plants include the buffalo grass and the blue grama, which sometimes we can see blue grama here. Then you have the eastern tall grass prairies, which are wetter and support taller growing plant species like big bluestem and switchgrass. Mm-hmm. Some of the plants in the tall grass prairie can grow up to 8 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah. Could you imagine that? I mean, coming over and like you're a European settler and you run into these 8 foot prairies where you can't see anything in front of you, and there's grizzly bears and elk and all this.
It's crazy. Just crazy to walk in on to think of something like that.
Yeah.
I know because I've talked to other people about this, because I used to feel silly about it as a kid. And as I talk to more and more people that grew up in nature and see a lot of these things, for me, I would see, you know, maybe a bird in the middle of winter coming out and looking for food and go away and think, how does that bird survive?
Yeah.
Like it fascinated me. Even to this day, some of that stuff really interests me, and in how animals survive cold winters or harsh weather and everything. I hadn't done a whole lot of thinking of how our ecosystems, how our ground, how our grass, our trees and all this survive a lot of that too.
Yeah, they prairies can be really harsh ecosystems. They have high heat in the summers. They can experience a lot of drought. Some of them can be really drought tolerant. They experience fire, which we talked about a little bit. They have really harsh winters, and lots of animals are on and feeding on the prairie plant. So it can be a really harsh environment. I just want to touch on one more prairie here quick, which is the dry short grass prairie system. And that's kind of where the short grass and the tall grass combine. And those prairies are like mid grass species. So not as tall as the tall grass prairies, but not as short as
that's a good one to mention. I got excited. I got ahead of myself.
That's okay.
That's a good, we definitely want to get that one in there. Now, I like many out there may ask, you know, how these plants can survive this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And the answer to the question that how do these prairies survive such harsh condition? It lies underground. It really lies underground. So 3/4 of the prairie biomass or plant material, like you think of biomass as the what you can see, the plant, the green material, and then the root systems below. So 3/4 of the prairie biomass is the root system. So the visible plant on the landscape only accounts for 1/4 of the actual prairie ecosystem.
Wow.
So there's a lot of life underground.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. The ground protects those plants from from drying out during drought, from grazing, from trampling, fire, and frost. So there's a lot of life down below the surface.
What's really fascinating to me about that too, Anna, is how we're learning more and more about fungi and about how our tree systems connect and talk to each other and everything. It seems like almost every couple of weeks we're hearing more and more data and stuff about that. So with all that you just said there, and you add that on top of it, there is so much going on underground.
It truly there is. And native prairie plant roots are like a wonder all in themselves. So the roots of some plants, like the blazing star, can grow 10 to 15 feet deep.
Wow.
That's insanely deep. And not only are they really long, but they're so numerous that if you stretch them out, like end to end, it would be miles miles of roof systems, which is really cool. And then, as you can imagine, there's so many plants in a prairie, and the root systems, you know, we say 3/4 of life in a prairie system is underground. It's probably pretty crowded, right?
Yeah.
So competition for nutrients in prairie ecosystems is pretty fierce, and plants often, their roots often interweave and very thickly. So in fact, I found this, I kind of went down a rabbit hole, but I found a little tidbit that early colonists, they used to cut bricks out of the sod, so out of like the root system material there, and used to build homes out of that.
Wow. Man, that takes Lincoln Logs a whole nother level.
I guess it does.
That's really unique.
And then I had heard this on a podcast. I can't remember which podcast it was, but I had heard that, you know, it was so difficult because colonists had come over to start farming, European colonists had, right? So they had to plow up the ground. Could you imagine plowing up thousands of years of root systems? Whoa. And it was the first couple of years were so difficult and almost traumatizing for some of these early colonizers to come over and try to even farm these prairie areas.
Yeah, it gives you hopefully it gives you a little bit of perspective and a little bit of thanks, a little bit of appreciation for that hard work and not just giving up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? It's a lot easier back. Let's go back, everybody. You know, or something like that along those lines. It could be a very different future for all of us.
It could have. And then you think of the Native Americans who were here prior to European civilization and settling, and, you know, how they lived in harmony with those systems, and like, give credit where credit's due, because they had to figure it out. And man, it's really beautiful. I could go down a rabbit hole, because I sure did when I was looking into this topic on some accounts. Yeah.
Now, today, the most fertile and well-watered regions. Talking about that a little bit.
Yeah, so today the most fertile and well-watered region is the tall grass prairie. And kind of a sad fact is that the tall grass prairie is less than 4% of its original area. And that's mainly due to urbanization and agriculture.
Yeah.
So we see some of those, you know, Iowa, parts of Wisconsin, Nebraska, where you would have that natural tall grass prairie, majority of it, urbanization and agriculture.
It's all the more reason why, and nobody's trying to stop progress necessarily or anything like that, but it's all the more important why we have reserved areas, why we have areas that are, nothing can be built on that land. That's state land, government land, those kind of things.
Yeah, and even private land, too. We'll get into this in a little bit, but even private land, I've seen lots of landowners implement, you know, prairies. And it's cool when you see a private landowner take this piece of land that might not be as profitable, right, for farming. Maybe it gets low yields or it's hard to farm. It's constantly wet. They'll implement prairie. And then it stays there. Because what use is it otherwise, right? So that's cool. Private landowners can do their thing.
Yeah, very, very cool. We're speaking with Anna Mitchell, regional natural resource educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. And Anna, we've hit on prairie ecosystems a bit. How about going a little local? What about in Wisconsin? How do they are in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so in Wisconsin, I found some really cool facts from Wisconsin DNR. So historically, prairie covered 2.1 million acres across the state of Wisconsin.
Whoa.
That's a lot of acres.
Yeah.
And it included much of the land landscape in southern Wisconsin. So according to Wisconsin DNR, less than 0.1%, I'm going to say that again, 0.1% of native prairie remains in the state today.
That's very hard to hear. I don't have a way of shining that up. There's no way to spin that or anything.
No, there's not.
Although I really appreciate you bringing it up, and I don't think a lot of us would know that otherwise, it brings all the more reason of what we were just saying before, why these are important to implement where we can and protect the ones that we have.
Yeah, that's so true. And the ones that we do have, there's mainly six types of prairie in Wisconsin, including the dry prairie, the dry mesic prairie, the mesic prairie, sand prairie, the wet prairie, and the wet mesic prairie. I'm only going to talk about a couple of them and just some cool facts because it would take too long if we touched on them. But the dry prairie systems are relatively uncommon. I mean, throughout the country, not just Wisconsin, but it's better represented in today's landscape than any other prairie community because it occurs on sites that are not well suited to other uses. So dry prairies are abundant in Wisconsin, and actually they're more abundant in Wisconsin than any upper Midwest state due to the unique topography of the driftless. So, right, we had said those prairies can't thrive in areas, you know, where there's a lot of urbanization or agriculture. So that's where we find them in the driftless, because they have those rolling bluffs that can be hard to plant on, right?
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
And then we have the Messick or the tall grass prairie, and it's estimated to have covered 800,000 acres in southern Wisconsin. So if you remember back when we talked about nationwide prairies, the tall grass prairie was, you know, our most valuable prairie ecosystem and are probably our most threatened, just because historically, you know, we've lost so much of it.
Yeah.
So it, like I said, it used to cover 800,000 acres of southern Wisconsin, but today less than 100 acres of intact tall grass prairie still exists. And that's prairie that would be remnant of what was historically here.
Again, got to protect that land that we have left and protect that those prairies while we have them.
We should
keep them around for future generations and this planet, and for all the right reasons.
Yeah, and that gets us into why do we care? Why should we care about our prairie ecosystems? So there's many reasons why we should care about the prairie ecosystems. We're going to talk about just a few today. So one, it's habitat. It's habitat for numerous amounts of species. Prairies produce food, cover, nesting sites for a wide variety of wildlife and insects, and some of our threatened or even endangered species as well. And one of the most important reasons to protect prairie habitat is because it provides critical habitat to our pollinators, which we touched on last time I was on, right?
So nice.
Just another reason. And I think this is kind of one of the unsung heroes of the benefits of prairies, is that they help clean water.
Yeah.
Which is, we talk about that all the time.
Oh, yeah. It's on almost everybody's mind. And it's a topic that you're going to hear on the news. You're going to hear here at this station all the time. And not, it's not going away anytime soon either, whether we're talking PFAS or we're talking anything involving clean water.
Yeah.
Prairies help this. It was one of the first things in my research that I came across was you want to get cleaner water. Prairies is one of the ways it helps with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the prairie vegetation, it captures the rain or runoff water and carries it down to the root systems, right? We had said that some of those roots can get 14 feet deep, right? So the rain and the runoff water is caught and carried down by the root systems, where it's trapped and filtered. And so the root systems help filter out both nutrients and sediment. So some of those nutrients that could reach our waters, like maybe phosphorus or nitrates, the prairie plants trap those and utilize those. So basically, prairies are wonderful sponges that help reduce excess nutrients and sediment that would otherwise cause issues like algal blooms in our water bodies.
It's all connected. It's all connected.
It really is. In prairie plants also promote water infiltration and storage, which can help promote recharge in our groundwater, and it also helps filter our groundwater. And then they also reduce nutrients and nutrient runoff. So they reduce erosion and nutrient runoff. Prairies can help reduce the amount of potential flooding and erosion that can happen with flooding, because those root systems are so deep and intricate that it just holds the soil there so tightly. Which is really cool.
We so many of the things that would benefit us in this day and age, we had back in the day.
And
they're right there for us. It doesn't take this brand new thing that we invent or whatever to make this happen. No, we've got it right here. It's not that hard. There's also the cultural value of this.
Yeah, and we kind of touched on that briefly, but prairies provide a sense of place for so many people to connect with nature, and it represents a part of our history, not just our history, but Native American history as well. And it represents past, present, and future history, which is really cool. And what these systems have gone through and what they can provide is just, I think it's really cool to sit and think about if we really intentionally steward our land, say our prairies, we're respecting those who came before us and who made a way for us, right?
Yeah.
So, and we're respecting the ecosystem in general that can provide so much to us.
It ties in those things. It ties in as well our love of history, our love of our fellow countrymen, yep. the people that paved the way for us, along with not only clean water, but also adding to our habitat, adding to the beauty of our lives and the beauty of our nature and our what we have. There are so many great things that this does. We want to help. We want to know what we can do. So how can we help prairie ecosystems?
Yeah, Anna? There's lots of ways you can continue to learn, which I would encourage you to do. Take a deep dive, like it seems like James
Done.
And his dad
yes,
did.
Yes, definitely will.
Continue to take those deep dives into prairie ecosystems. Plant native prairies. If you're in town, plant some native plants, plant some native grasses. Provide, even if it's just a tiny little remnant, you can do that. You can give back and do that, right? And then you're encouraging that habitat for species, pollinators, right? Mm-hmm. Volunteer or donate with local conservation initiatives that are in place to help restore and enhance prairies. So I kind of looked into a couple of ones. Wisconsin Pheasants Forever is a wonderful organization yeah. for helping improve, promote, plant new prairies. Mm-hmm. And then down in the Driftless region, there's the Prairie Enthusiast. They're doing a bunch in yeah. prairie systems. If you're a private landowner, look into some of the cost share programs provided by, your local land and water department, NRCS, they'll help offset the cost of you doing good and implementing a prairie system.
I think one of the things that I appreciate the most about our conversations, Anna, is sometimes, you take on really big topics, and sometimes we can hear these on the news or in mm-hmm. society and think that, well, that's just gigantic. Yeah. How could I help something like that? Yeah. How could I make an impact on such a big issue? And it all starts with so much of what you've shared with us today, but it also makes me think of growing anything. It starts yeah. with a simple seed,
yep.
and it takes time and patience and care. Mm-hmm. But once you're done, you get something amazing that grows from that.
Yeah.
And it's just one seed that can create that.
And it's going to last a lot longer than you do.
Yeah. These you're going to see today at some point in your day and walking around, you're going to see a tree. Mm-hmm. And that tree has been here longer than us. Mm-hmm. And it started as just a simple little thing. And mm-hmm. it's still here. And it's still kicking out oxygen and taking care of us and taking right. care of this planet. You can be a part of something like that. You can add to the betterment of not only our life and our future, but our planet.
Yeah. Yep.
And if people want to know more about some of what we talked about today or have any follow-up questions, mm-hmm. how can they get a hold of you?
You can stop by the Wood County Extension office, or you can email me at anna.m.james. It is still James.
nice.
At wisc.edu.
Love talking with you, Anna. Thank you
Thanks,
so much.
James.
Looking forward to having you back real soon.
As am I.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine for you here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Earl Ingram.
This relationship that I'm having with my phone, it's a one-way trip to hell. Al from Milwaukee.
What's her name?
Who?
This person you have this relationship with.
My phone. Man, my wife is listening. What are you talking about, man?
I teach healthy relationships, so you can enroll in my class. It starts at 10 o'clock.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, I am so excited. We wrap up On the Road with Jane and Todd in my favorite place, Amory, Wisconsin. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, testosterone and overload and whatever
testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. President Biden's tackling a number of topics at the G7 summit today in Italy. First, striking a 10-year defense deal with Ukraine.
We're not backing down. In fact, we're standing together against this illegal aggression.
The agreement does not include American troop deployments. Biden also addressed the war between Israel and Hamas and says he hopes both sides can agree on a ceasefire deal soon.
The biggest hang-up so far is Hamas refusing to sign on, even though they have submitted something similar.
And reporters also asked the president about his son, Hunter.
I'm extremely proud of my son, Hunter. He has overcome an addiction. He's one of the brightest, most decent men I know.
But Mr. Biden insists he will not pardon Hunter for his gun crimes or commute his sentence. A sentencing date still hasn't been announced yet, but Hunter faces serious prison time on 3 felony counts that carry up to 25 years. CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
Matt Mayer on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno Fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno Fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because